Hello, Instagram. It feels like probably about a million years since I've done a live. I think I felt resistance to jumping on. And then I thought, well, I've got to practice what I preach. I don't want to do it, so I should definitely do it anyway. And the reason I'm coming on today is to talk about, because I still think lots of people maybe don't really understand what online coaching is. Maybe you don't even know about the fact that I run an incredible 6-week program where I really encourage you to go on a journey of self-discovery. And I think so often we might be stuck feeling like we are too busy to find out how we want to move our bodies, how we want to nourish our bodies, how we could be feeling better in the only body that you're ever going to get the absolute pleasure of living in. And I just don't think we can delay doing this big piece of work. And recently, hello, lovely Lena, I can see you there. I have been on retreat and I do think I always come back with just loads of food for thought. And I've actually just recorded a podcast and it's all about trying to practice being less kind of attached. And I'm just going to go down a whole different rabbit hole. I am going to talk to you about what the reset is, but also maybe this will resonate with you, because I think when I'm coaching women, so often we're kind of trying to hark back to a previous body size that we've lived in. And we don't really spend much time thinking about the type of life that we were leading at the time that we lived in this body that now we wish we lived in, even though at the time we probably didn't even realize how amazing that body was. Which, just pause there and have a little think forward. If you fast forwarded 10 years, do you think it is slightly possible that you might also not be appreciating how wonderful the body is that you are currently living in? And it's really easy to take things for granted, and it's really easy to forget how phenomenal the space that you're currently living in is. So I suppose that's just like a little food for thought. But Lena and I actually, so it's great that Lena is hanging out on Instagram right now. We were talking about the practice of no attachment. So really trying to think about how this might apply, because if you have listened to any previous podcasts, you know that I really like to apply most things back to health and fitness. But when you're embarking on a change, when you're feeling a bit fed up in your own skin, when you're like, oh, I just feel so uncomfortable, I'll start on Monday and I'll, you know, be feeling wonderful again as long as I've restricted all of these different food groups. But what we're actually trying to do is probably go backwards and inhabit a previous body shape or body size that we have lived in, or try and kind of get back to an identity that we wish we still had. And it might be that you previously lived in a smaller body and you still have this identity of somebody who lived in this smaller body, and that's in conflict because maybe now life has moved on. Maybe now you can't do 8 back-to-back cardio classes. Maybe your values have changed a little bit. Maybe you value connection and relaxed social eating with family and friends. Maybe you're trying to be a good role model to your kids. So maybe that's like in conflict with you still having this identity around being the person who can fit into maybe like the smallest size in a shop, or, you know, being a certain scale weight, for example. And what can happen if we get stuck and we're not able to practice no attachment, is that we're so attached to this identity and sort of chasing this identity that we don't have any flexibility or ability to move forward and maybe create a new identity and basically stop trying to live backwards. And I do hear it all the time, like, oh, I was so happy when I was like 30 and I fitted into this pair of jeans and I just want to get back to that. Or, oh, I used to be so fit and I could run marathons and I just want to get back to that. And I suppose what I want to do when I start working with women is really think about identity-based habit change, because I don't think there's anything wrong with trying to, firstly, and I know James Clear talks a lot about, if you're wanting to embrace a new habit or behavior, that you should kind of create an identity of the person that you would like to be. But I would really encourage women particularly to stop kind of going backwards and instead think about the type of person you'd like to be now, not with a hang up on being a certain scale weight or a certain body size, but just thinking much more about how you want to be feeling in your body. Because we don't really, and I had a really interesting chat with someone who I do one-to-one coaching with, and the more we kind of unpicked this drive that she has for fat loss, the more even she was beginning to realize that it wasn't necessarily that she wanted to kind of get on top of some of her behaviors around food to live in a smaller body. It was because the behaviors that she currently has around food don't make her feel great. So actually it's not an attachment to her losing body fat or weighing less on the scales. It's actually much more to do with the fact that she just wants to be feeding her body in a way that makes her feel amazing and makes her feel like she's thriving and sort of fueling herself properly and actually engaging in those behaviors, regardless of the impact that they do or don't have on her body size. They just don't make her feel great. So I thought that was a really, really interesting observation. So yeah, I just wanted to put that out there before I started chatting about the reset, but maybe just really questioning your why. And if you are thinking that you need to lose fat or that you need to start eating better, think about whether you're a bit too attached to a previous identity or that you're just sort of stuck on this past version of you. And that instead of like harping on about that, maybe you need to be creating this new version of yourself. And definitely that needs to be someone who is future-proofing themselves, who is looking to move their body, train their body, nourish their body, but not to kind of get back to something that you might have had previously, because you as a human have moved on. And I don't think as women we're very compassionate, and I really don't think we think about that very much. But the type of body that you could happily live in when you were child-free, your job wasn't very important to you, you had all the time in the world, might be massively different to the type of body you can inhabit when you've got work pressures, children, just life is bigger. Like the tapestry of your life, it gets richer and richer the older you, I was going to say the bigger you get, but you understand what I mean, like the older you get. So it's not very compassionate, therefore, for us always to be trying to almost minimize ourselves and put that pressure on ourselves not to grow and change and develop as our lives go forward. So just a little food for thought. Speaking of which, if you are listening to this and you're like, oh, okay, this is all quite interesting, I suppose I always just jump onto different diets or trying to kind of adopt patterns of behavior that, you know, maybe you don't really take much time to think about, but you just sort of leap into, I don't know, a sugar-free, let me think of other things that everyone demonizes, like a booze-free, sugar-free, carbohydrate-free, fun-free diet without doing kind of the inside work. It's not very surprising that you're still rummaging around for the right kind of diet or lifestyle change for you. And I think it is a testament to people that I do work with that I have a community of around, I think we're about 90 of us at the moment, who've just stayed in much more kind of compassionate, loving, curious action for, I believe the challenges has been going for over 2 years now. It could even be coming up to 3 years, but I have original members still here who are feeling much more at peace with where they are, much more able to make decisions that line up with the type of person they want to be, who are much more compassionate when they have periods of time where they maybe move away from that identity, because again, they've got much more flexibility of thought around kind of body image and the fact that sometimes you can have certain burners up. So sometimes you can really be focused on your training and your nutrition and your movement, and other times life happens and you know that you've got a fundamental blueprint, hopefully after working with me, of how to look after yourself, but you know, you don't beat yourself up. And I do definitely think that this is probably what makes working online with a coach really different from maybe just, I don't know, grabbing a diet plan off the internet and starting to do like random YouTube workouts. And it's having someone in your corner to remind you to be really compassionate with yourself, to remind you that you don't need to be all or nothing. And I frequently will say to people that I am working with that they don't need to be more intense, the reason that they maybe haven't found their happy isn't because they weren't intense enough. It wasn't that they should have restricted their calories more or exercised more. Actually, they just needed to be a bit more consistent, that they needed to be a bit more compassionate, that they needed to realize that it's never going to be these kind of off-track episodes that are going to stop them achieving the goal that they have set out to achieve. But instead, it's their reaction to these events. And I think this is why it's really important to have someone external, somebody who can be objective, somebody who can kind of call you out on your stuck narratives of this type of person you want to be. Recently, I worked with a woman and she actually told me, like, right up front, I will probably be 100% for the first 2 weeks. And then I always kind of burn out and then everything always goes wrong. But it was really good that she had that self-awareness, because once you've got self-awareness of this sort of type of identity or this belief that you have around the type of person you are, you can start to challenge it. You can get really curious about maybe why you hold that belief. And then you can also get really curious about, is it true? And does it have to be true? Because if it's not serving you, you can rewrite it. You can rewrite the stuck narratives you have. And it's why when you do come on the 6 week reset now, I've got sort of a growing body of kind of like journaling tasks to help you really start to think about why you believe what you believe around how you're feeding your body, how you move your body, how you train your body. Because all of these things are often is just a belief, and you can challenge beliefs and you can actually realize that some of these are actually standing in your way from getting to this happy space that you want to exist in. And there isn't really anything I can think of that is more valuable than working on finding your internal happy. And it's really easy, and it is much easier to jump onto the outside and to look at yourself in a mirror and pick yourself apart, then actually try and be a bit more embodied and live in your body and work out how you can just find your peace and harmony inside. Because the problem is, if you have flitted from diet to diet to diet, you're probably way too outside of your body. You're way too sort of judgy of your body all of the time to actually do the stuff that's going to lead you to find your happy. And I think the more I've been working with women over this time, the more I've realized that the biggest thing I think I offer when people work with me now is the opportunity to do some reflection, to start getting really curious about some stuck narratives that you might have, and make sure that you are able to let go of some of these past identities that you might have inhabited or still feel like you want to kind of link yourself to and recreate yourself. So maybe you're like, oh yeah, but I just don't like exercise. Oh, I just, you know, I'm addicted to chocolate. I can't stop myself. Once I start eating chocolate, that's it, I'm off. And actually, they're just beliefs that you have. And so often, if you start firstly getting curious and then challenging them, it might be that you can make meaningful and lasting change. Because I think if you don't actually take that wider picture and really think about your mindset when it comes to nutrition, training, and exercise, then any results that you get are going to be quite short-lived, because you haven't really changed your fundamental belief around the type of person you are. And I do think when it comes to trying to inhabit this healthier, happy body, you have to do the inside stuff. And actually, what the magic is, and the magic that happens when you go on that journey of thinking a bit deeper about this stuff, is that the changes that you make are going to be lasting, and that you're going to be making these changes from a place of wanting to look after yourself better, for wanting to kind of future-proof yourself. And lots of the women I'm working with, you know, we are getting into, well, I'm now 40, so I can say it, but you know, we're late 30s, we're 40s, 50s maybe. And there's so much change going on, and us kind of always wanting to just pursue fat loss for no other purpose than wanting to become smaller or fit into a size of clothing that we used to fit into. It's not compassionate. And if we could just practice a bit more flexibility around our body image and think about it the other way around. And I do talk about this a lot, because I think people will be coming. And often I'll obviously, I always ask you, what is your goal for working with me? And so often fat loss is a goal. I'm not going to lie. And that's absolutely fine. You can take your body composition into whatever direction you like. And I'm going to give you that power and the knowledge. But I just so often don't, I think we've got it skewed. And I think if instead of just mindlessly pursuing fat loss, we took a step back and we thought, okay, so I would like to lose some fat for health reasons, for whatever reasons, an aesthetic reason, all of this is absolutely fine. But instead of pursuing it mindlessly, if instead you thought about your life, you thought about what was important to you, what your kind of top values were, what losing or having less body fat would mean to the things that were important to you in life, kind of trying to link them. And then having a think about how your body likes to be nourished. So rather than, you know, just adopting somebody else's diet pattern, actually taking the time to explore, oh, actually, my body really enjoys being fed in this way. And actually, my energy levels are much more stable when I, you know, include some protein and vegetables, and my mood improves. That's more stable. I don't find I get these crashes in the afternoon, but actually doing it from a place of exploration and feeling, like how you're feeling, not looking always externally for how much will I weigh against gravity if I da 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 to my diet. So actually finding this pattern of movement and training and nourishment that you enjoy, that makes you feel incredible, whilst working on your mindset and undoing some stuck narratives that you might have that are definitely keeping you stuck, is basically the principles of the 6-week reset. So maybe I will go into a little bit more detail and talk about the different aspects. So firstly, if you do come on the journey, it's me giving you permission to do the work, because I know women are really, really, really rubbish at putting their own needs first. And we're so busy often looking after other people, often being sandwiched maybe with sort of elderly parents and then sort of small children and still kind of demanding things, that we don't really look to look after ourselves. So firstly, I give you permission to have a think about you, and I'm going to be encouraging you to be doing things like journaling, to be doing the mindset stuff. I have now got journaling prompts as well for you to really start thinking about your beliefs around nourishment and your beliefs around exercise and things that you think you hold to be true but actually might be getting in your way, and to think about things like diet history and think about things like what you were exposed to when you were younger, because all of these things will be massively impacting on how you're interacting with your environment. So, you know, your thoughts around exercise, if you've always thought that you're someone who doesn't like training, or you're someone who's quite lazy and doesn't really like moving, or you're someone who just likes junk food, you're just tied to that identity. And you being tied to that identity might mean that you can temporarily adopt somebody else's patterns of movement, nutrition and training, but you'll never really own it because you're not letting go of that previous identity that you clung onto, even though you know when you step back and start thinking about it that it's not helping you out at all. So definitely the mindset stuff is going to be huge. And if you've done previous kind of diet programs before, it might be that they never really tried to get you to do the inside work. And I'm massively, probably because I've just come back from retreat as well, but massively realizing that it's almost pointless if you don't do some of the mindset change to embark on a lifestyle change, because unless you start identifying as this person who has health seeking behaviors and you start feeling like you are that person who is prioritizing themselves, that the changes will be quite short-lived, and that will become very frustrating, and you're going to stay stuck on that cycle and that looping. So there's the mindset stuff, and this is done through prompted like journaling activities, and I'm creating, which is very exciting, and it is something else I'm still hoping to get done before school pickup, is starting to create the member space. So if you are a member of my gang, if you are coming onto the 6-week reset, then you will have access to the member space, and you will be able to go through these journaling prompts and hopefully just start unpicking kind of why things maybe never quite work out for you, or you know, what isn't helpful anymore? And yeah, what's driving you to kind of always feel like you're wanting to make this change, but you're never quite succeeding? So anyway, there's resources there already, quite inspired after the retreat. So there'll probably be new resources as well. But also, I think for so many women, emotional eating is huge. And in the resources that I've created, I'm also giving you ideas behind having things like a feelings wheel, and again, being able to sort of describe your emotions a little bit better. And I've only just started, literally downloaded it this morning, but reading a book by Brené Brown, and it's Atlas of the Heart. And I think it's about, I've just got it on my Kindle, I think it's like 86 emotions, and she's sort of going to go through it. But I think when she did all her research, she found that most people only kind of really were able to describe three emotions. And our inability to describe emotion means that we are not able to process it, and we're also not able to recognize it in others. So even just giving ourselves a better vocabulary to talk about how we're feeling might mean that we can stop sort of suppressing some stuff and kind of get comfortable with being uncomfortable, but feeling our feelings. So maybe we don't need to keep suppressing our feelings and eating our feelings or going down social media rabbit holes, because again, it's just kind of another way to numb and not be present in your body. So anyway, it's very fascinating, and I'm sure I'll chat more about it at another time. So yeah, the mindset stuff is huge. There's going to be a new member space, which is super exciting, which is going to enable you to kind of work through these activities at your own pace. But definitely the power of a notebook is just incredible. And I also get you to do a morning routine, which is very simple and straightforward and helps you start thinking about that identity of the type of person you want to be, the type of identity you want to create, as well as an evening routine, which just helps you reflect on what's gone well that day and one kind of thing you definitely want to improve on tomorrow. So as much as possible to get away from this kind of punitive, punishing, kind of shame cycle that we can spiral into when we feel like, you know, something hasn't gone 100% right, so we may as well delay and just kind of wait till Monday or like a different month or January it will be soon before we kind of start trying to move in the direction we want to go into. So anyway, that's the mindset stuff, and that is the stuff that I think is the most powerful. I think the mindset stuff, the accountability to an actual human being, because it is me who will be doing your check-ins, it is me who can contact at any time, is huge. And I think this is kind of what sets it apart. So very briefly to talk about the other elements. So it's mindset, and that's everything that I think is so super powerful. Obviously, accountability to a coach is what sets it apart as well. And knowing someone's in your corner, knowing someone is going to kind of call you out, who's going to kind of challenge maybe some of your reasons and your whys, and just check in with you that you are not just trying to go backwards and that actually we're trying to reimagine this better version of you rather than kind of just having minimization as our goal. Like, actually, let's kind of park that and let's find this pattern of movement that makes you thrive first. And then we're going to adjust and get body neutral and start appreciating our amazing body just as it is. Because quite often what happens is when you do deal with the emotional stuff and you work through the mindset stuff, you just start wanting to look after your body better anyway. And then everything else just works itself out in the wash. So just actually starting to believe in that is really key. Exercise wise, it's really amazing because everything's hosted on an app. So the exercise that you are given, you can do exercise, you get like a set prescribed workout if you like each week. But we also have on the app access to Pilates now, yoga if Lena's still around, and the yoga is beautiful. So we've got 30 minute yoga practices all the way up to kind of an hour. So you've always got access to that as soon as you join up for the 6 week reset, because it might be that more isn't always more. And for some people I work with, I actually might be encouraging you to do more of the yoga practice and less of the training. Because again, I think that can be a stuck narrative that we often have, that maybe we need to exercise loads to burn off the food we ate, and we have this relationship between the two that is super damaging. So again, part of my job as your coach is to stop you ever relating your activity with what you're eating, because there's never going to take you to happy places. But also realizing that just because you feel like you should do 6 workouts a week, actually that might not be serving you. It might not be helping you in other aspects of your life, and maybe your pie chart needs a bit more balance. And again, there's that activity where we really talk about, how do you want your ideal pie chart to look? How much kind of cognitive energy do you want to be spending thinking about things like your nutrition and your training? And actually, if we could kind of make those autopilot, think how much bigger your pie chart would be. Think how much more space there would be for you to think about kind of self-development and activities that you enjoy, and maybe popping in some hobbies, if you didn't have so much of your brain energy consumed with what you're going to eat at the next meal, and, you know, can you run enough to burn off the fact that you ate a donut, etc., etc. So all of those unhelpful behaviours we can hopefully start addressing. So exercise wise, of course, there's loads of exercise. You're going to get access to push the button and you can get whatever type of workout you like, including obviously the Pilates and the yoga. There's also live workouts. So every Thursday on Zoom, I do a strength training 45 minute session, which is really nice, really brings in the sense of community. You do not have to have any experience of picking up weight. It might be that initially you even just come in with very light weights or body weight. But again, there's no jumping around for that Thursday evening session, and it's recorded and everything again is in the app. So if the time doesn't suit you, you can just do it when you're ready in your own time. Movement wise, I want you to get your movement seeking eyes on and just start thinking about how you can insert more movement into your day. And there's so many benefits to moving more and getting out in sunshine. It's going to help things like generally your energy levels. It is going to help with your circadian sleep rhythms if you're getting out into daylight earlier on in your day. It's going to improve your mood, your mental health. So there is a movement target. But again, this can be adjusted. There's nothing kind of set in stone. And again, that's why it's not a generic kind of cookie cutter program. You get to talk to me and we get to adjust things so you can feel like you're succeeding. And then there's nutrition. And the more I work with women, and I've worked with hundreds of women now, the more I realize, you know, there is no point to me giving you eat this for breakfast and then have this snack and then have this for lunch, because I wouldn't be teaching you anything. And I'm going to be creating more resources, which is really exciting. And I'm going to give you knowledge. So I'm going to tell you about how to build a plate of food, how to think about elevating that plate of food to make it more satisfying, to make it more nutritious, to make it more delicious. Because magic stuff happens when you start thinking like that. And if you've only ever been on diets before, which have been, you know, very restrictive, and, you know, you've had to weigh out every single thing you've been eating and you've just followed somebody else's program, the reason you're probably still stuck is because you've never developed your own pattern of eating. You've not found out what your taste preferences are, how your body likes to feel during a meal and after a meal. And you haven't thought about things like how you can shizzle your meal, which is basically, it's about that elevation. So could you squeeze on some fresh lime? Could you cut up some fresh herbs? Could you put on some chili? Have you got crunch there? Have you got some smoothness there? Because the more you start thinking about all of that happening on a plate, the more happy and excited your mouth will be to get it, the more nourished you're going to be feeling on all levels. So kind of like that soul level of a token of love that you've just eaten a bowl of food that has had some thought behind it, as well as satiety. So feeling full, feeling satisfied. Because when you feel satisfied, it's really strange, but you will find that you are not kind of rummaging around in the cupboard afterwards, because you will have actually listened into your body, hopefully, become more in tune to what your body's asking for, delivered it on a beautiful plate with a massive rainbow of vegetables, some delicious protein to support your body composition goal, some lovely carbohydrates to replenish your glycogen store so you can feel energized and you can engage in the training, as well as those kind of like little taste enhancements, etc., just to give you that feeling of satisfaction. Because again, I think we don't think about that. And we go into things like diet with a very restrictive mindset. And we're always thinking about, oh, we need less of this and less of this. Whereas if you switch that up and you start thinking about abundance, so you start thinking about what you need more of, it just transforms everything. Because if you dish up and you're like, what do I need to add? How could I make this better? How could I make it more nourishing, more delicious, more satisfying? I suppose it's like a mindset trick, but you will feel more satisfied. And I've talked about it about a million times now, but there was that great study where they gave two groups of participants exactly the same milkshake, and half of them were told that it was a decadent, high fat, high calorie milkshake, and the others were told that it was a diet milkshake. And then they actually measured ghrelin levels, so hunger hormone levels, in the two groups. And they found that the group that had been told it was a diet milkshake, even though it was exactly the same, they had much higher levels of hunger hormone after having the milkshake, or their ghrelin went up much quicker than the group that were told it was a high calorie one. So again, this comes back to kind of your beliefs around food and how you're feeding your body, because it actually impacts at a physiological level as well, which I think is fascinating. So if you're always entering diets and dreading them and thinking, oh my God, this is going to be awful, like, that's your belief. Whereas actually, I want your belief to be, if you are ready to go on a journey of finding how you want to nourish your body better, that your belief is that this is going to make you feel better. It's going to make you feel more energized. You're going to feel happier. You're not going to feel restricted. And that's why it's so important as well to stop delaying it for this like perfect magical time where nothing else is going on and you don't have any holidays booked and, you know, there's no social events and you feel like you can, you know, give up all alcohol, you can give up all the sugar and be gluten-free and all these crazy other things that may not be compatible with how you live your life and what your values are and the type of lifestyle you want to lead. So I need you to be busy. I need you to have stuff going on, and I need you to see that these lifestyle changes are going to benefit you, and they're going to make you turn up to every single aspect of your life as a better human. So I think that's probably about it. So if you are thinking this sounds great, what do I do? All you need to do is sign up. And I do believe that the link on LinkedIn is what, not LinkedIn, you know, the little bio above is working. If not, you can go to my website or just shoot me a message on Instagram and I'll send you the link. We have a really nice live kind of hello and goal setting, which will happen at 10 a.m. on Sunday, the 25th of September. And that's just a really nice way to see who's in the group, because this small group community is also so powerful. So you do get me, but you also get people who are joining up for the same reason as you. And it has been shown that when you surround yourself with people who all have kind of similar goals, that it's much easier to adopt behavior change and actually embed better habits. But this is all about making you feel amazing, making you feel like you are actually living in your body and not just on the outside judging it all the time, to feel more embodied, to feel like you want to look after yourself better, to feel like you deserve actually a little bit better. So it's not that you can't have certain things, but you might just start making different choices when you've got a bit more love at the center of this this desire to kind of improve and change, rather than kind of trying to hate yourself into change or sort of shame yourself into needing to live in a different type of body, etc. So I don't think I've told you anything about the 6-week reset really, but what I want you to take away from this is the fact that you will get support, you will get accountability, and more than anything, you're going to get permission to go on a 6-week journey to find out how you want to be looking after yourself, not just for the 6 weeks, but actually going forward to make sure that you're future-proofed, to give you a safe space to explore all of the different ways in which you might want to be fueling yourself and see what fits well, what pattern of behavior at this moment in your life is going to work, not feel too kind of oppressive or like too much of a task that can kind of very happily just coexist with your current life. And I always think that if you are thinking about body composition change, etc., sometimes we forget that possibly in our minds, we have this amazing body composition that we're hankering after, But we also have this dream lifestyle that we also want to be living. And that might involve like frequent meals out with friends and enjoying social relaxed eating occasions, demonstrating great habits around food and food freedom for our children, etc. But it might be that the two are completely out of balance and out of whack. And I would say my job as a coach, so a nutrition coach and your fitness coach, is to try and get you to bring them into closer alignment. So your dream body and your dream lifestyle are more on a level playing field. And so frequently, it's a tweak in both directions is what I would say. And that is my experience. But the lovely thing is when people have been working with me for a while, that they can go on holiday and they can have relaxed patterns of eating, but they're always hungry. It's probably like a bad use of the word to get back to their thriving behaviors. But having that freedom with no guilt and no shame to still have relaxed times, but know that they've got this safety net, and they know because they've done the work, they know how they want to be behaving around food and how they want to be treating their bodies the majority of the time. So those minority behaviors just become like little fun interludes. But again, there's this safety net of, but I remember how I like to fuel my body. I remember how I like to move it. I know what training it regularly feels like, and that's my preference. So I choose to go back to it. Not that I have to, not that I need to because I overate at the weekend, but because I get to and I want to, because that's kind of my happy space. So if you've been listening and you are interested, I have got a lot of podcasts. As of tomorrow, there'll be 85 of them. So do start listening. I go into much more depth about all of the different components of the reset. So nutrition, training, exercise, etc., etc. So I do believe if you started around episode 3, that will give you much more of an insight. But I'm very happy to chat. I do love chatting. So if you think any of this would be helpful for you, let me know. All right, guys, lovely to see you. Bye.